plug in?
All right.
All right. So Father, we thank you, God, that we are here today to just not just celebrate you, God, not just celebrate our fathers, God, but to celebrate what you're doing in our lives, God. That as you continue to provide your word, God, to give us your wisdom, your guidance, your leadership, your direction, God, for our lives, God, we submit first and foremost to have your way with us, God. Let your word find fertile soil in our hearts. Let it continue to govern our lives, God, and allow it to just permeate through all of our body, through all of our existence, God, to continue to release your word to accomplish your will on earth, God. We submit your plan, your purposes, and your will be done through your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we are continuing on. We're learning about how to be a Christian in America. And as we learned last week, statistically, we're declining. Statistically, Christianity in America is on the decline. We found out that was true. We also found out that what else did we learn? Does anybody want to point out something from last week? Dill, you got any gem from last week? I don't want to give it all away. I mean, y'all can go back and listen to it. That's fine too. I was told it was a great message, but that is true, right? Just because we live in a land that dictates freedom, there's still consequences because we answer to God above all else. So even if we can move out in the freedom that our country provides us, if those freedoms lead us to something that causes consequences according to God's word, we're still going to experience those consequences, right? Okay. We also learned a lot about, what the difference between the kingdom of God is versus the world's principles and all the things that the world creates in the American culture and everything like that. So we understand all that. So being an American Christian obviously comes with its challenges. We've learned that from last week. Being a Christian comes with its own set of values and beliefs, but compile them with our American values and we may find ourselves with conflict. Why? Because some things that the world teaches might contradict the things that the Bible teaches. We know that, right? Do we follow which one? Okay, good. All right, we understand that one. That one's easy. All right. If you're raising your hand, good. If you're saying, I'm conflicted because I don't know which way to go, that's fine. This is the reason we're discussing this subject, because there is a confliction. We have our values and our rights and our freedoms as American citizens, but then we look and read what the Bible's teaching us and we go, well, wait a minute. That's not what God's saying. God says something contrary. And you put yourself in that quandary of, well, do I rely on this standard or do I rely on this standard? And I even posed that question in a conversation I had with God the other day. And the question I posed was something pertaining to what's going on in the world. And God said, well, what if the world's wrong? Now, that wasn't just the United States of America is wrong. Or what if just these people in political power are wrong? No, I mean the entire world is wrong. The whole world's got it wrong. That's a lot. Would you bank on that? Would you bank that the whole world is wrong and that we have to change our thought process? Just keep that in mind, okay, as we continue on. So we need to stand up for the things of God and God's version of these values, not man's, Americanized version of them. Unity and division are two very important values that God has set up for us, and oddly enough, so has our nation. But are they the same? Sadly, they are not. And we're going to come right there. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 through 23. And you might not understand where this is going at first, but I'll explain. Because we're talking about American diversity. Because in America, diversity is what we are. We are the wonderful melting pot of the world, right? We have so many diverse people in this country that is magnificently different than probably any other country. Okay? It is. Yep. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 19, if you're there. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise and that they are futile or futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of, or life or death or things present or things to come are all yours. And you are Christ and Christ is God's. What does that have to do with this American diversity? You might be questioning. We have all these many races, creeds, and all these different belief systems that come under what? In America, we come under one flag. We come under one flag. That unites this country. Okay? The stars and stripes represent our history as well as our unity. Right? That this one nation is made up of all of these different states, which are represented by each one of those stars in that blue panel. Right? Although we live in this nation, men and their wisdom believe what? That diversity is more important than unity. How can I say that? They believe that under the concept of the flag, we are unified, right, under that banner, but they empower you through your diversity. It's what makes you different. That's important. Let's focus on how you're different than everybody else, right? What you might hear me saying a lot nowadays is that there's a difference or separation between exclusivity and inclusivity, right? What does that mean? Well, are you being exclusively paid attention to because of what makes you different? Or are you being included because of what makes you different? Think about this. Because there's a lot of things that are coming around and a lot of programs, affiliations, a lot of groups, social organizations. You can get these on Facebook. You can find them in the news. You can find them everywhere. And they are meant to express the diversity of this nation, but it's like an exclusive cool kids club. You can only be a part of it if you are this different group of people. Give you an example, okay? If you go to apply for college, right, and you want to get tuition aid and all that stuff, you can go online and you can find a whole bunch of free money. Did you know that? There's lots of free money out there for you to go to apply. What are they called, Miss Kim? Grants, okay? You can go and apply for a bunch of grants. Do you understand that those grants avail money based on what makes you different than average normal people? I.e., if you're this color skin, or you have this ethnic background, or you have this heritage in your DNA, you can apply for this grant. Do you understand there are no grants for white men at all? Zero. None. You get zero money. There's nothing. There's nothing for an Irish heritage. There's nothing for an English heritage. There's nothing for, if you're white, you get nothing. Now, I'm not trying to point out that, oh, because I'm white, I don't get free money or anything like that. That doesn't mean anything. That has no relevancy here. But I'm pointing out the example that the world standards and what they set up, although it's portraying inclusivity, it's not. There's a standard underneath it that is exclusive. And it's important that you understand and recognize it and see it, because it's a scheme that the devil is using and weaving in the world today to get us confused. And it's important we see it. And what's happening is that what's being propagated between all of the world's media bases and everything around is that this nation is an independent nation, right? We have the Declaration of Independence. We have our personal freedoms, right? And so what ends up being translated and scripted to you is that you have your own personal independence. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right. What does that mean? That means that you get to operate outside of the laws and rules and regulations that God sets. Because under this flag and this banner, you have your own personal set of rules and guidelines that you can follow. Do we see what the world's setting up? That this American diversity is basically stating that in your diversity, you are able to operate under a separate set of rules and guidelines and privileges than anybody else in the world. And if you don't believe me, just watch the news. It's happening right now. Just turn it on. It's actually happening right before your eyes. I didn't write this because of what's going on. I'm writing this because God said so, and you can just watch it happen before your eyes if you want to see it. Okay? So what does this have to do with what we're talking about? Let's go to Luke. Don't have to go too far. Chapter 6. And there's something really profound that happens here in Luke. We may not like hearing this, but it'll bring some clarity. Luke chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 says this. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers of the false prophets. Ooh. Welcome back to the American dream. What's the American dream promise? All the wealth, the prosperity that you can obtain is at your fingertips, right? Plus, you have this wonderful new world that we're in that propagates the fast food mentality. What's that, brother? You can get it in 30 seconds or less. You can have what you want now, and you don't have to wait for it. Not only that, but where's my brother Dylan? You got your cell phone on you back there, brother? Can you lift that up for me? Lift it high up so everybody can see it. That beautiful device gives him fingertip access to all the information in the entire world. You could tell me what the meaning of onomatopoeia is through what? Because you know what the meaning of onomatopoeia is? Yeah, you probably do. You don't need to Google it. He is Google. Right? But we have it right here at our fingertips. We can access all this awesome information right at your tips of your fingers. You have everything you want and need and can imagine without having to ever wait for it. Okay? So what does that give me the ability to say? That gives me the ability to say that here in this wonderful country of America, where we have all these technological advancements, we have all this wonderful programs and agendas and legal things that have happened over the course of our nation, and all this stuff that's gone on has given this wonderful nation raising up a generation after generation after generation of nothing but a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. America is the nation of a bunch of spoiled, rotten brats. We don't even know what we stand for anymore. We've lost sight of what this country means. You want to know how I can prove it to you? Get two quarters. Get one quarter that's dictated from like back in 19-something, and then get a new quarter, one of those new fake metal quarters, and put them side by side, and you'll see George Washington's face is pointing towards and looking at In God We Trust. And on all the new quarters, he's turned away from the In God We Trust. Basically, a blunt, very front and forward visual representation that this nation has turned its back on God. And by doing so, has abruptly substituted God with what? No, man. Not money, man. Because money doesn't make this world go round anymore. It used to. Not anymore. It's about man. It's about power. Now, if you might be offended by me saying, you know, the spoiled, rotten brat comment, okay, well, I have relevancy. It's at 1 John 2, verse 16, and I knew Dylan would pull it up for me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if we understand the principles and that the world you could substitute for the United States of America if you want, is going on right now, that is actually what's going on. The pride of life, the arrogance of man that it knows better than God. And then you go back to Luke and you go, woe to you who are rich, woe to you who are full. I'm not starving. You starving? Nope. Right? Woe to you who laugh now. Everything that you want now, you have. You can get what you want. It's at your fingertips. You get to have all the praise, all the adoration, all the glory, all those wonderful things. What does God say that we're supposed to get? Do we get those things now or later? So what are we substituting? We'd rather not wait for the things of God, the promises and the good gifts that he will exalt upon us, that he will lift us up, we'd rather not have those things now. We don't want them. We don't want them later. We want them now. So what do? We go out and we grab them now. Because the American dream gives us the privilege to do so. And that's the issue. We become the proud American. Because we're proud to be an American, right? That was an old song. Remember that? I'm proud to be an American. That's about all you think you have. So, when we're talking about this, the one thing God brought to my attention, and I thought this was profound, is dealing with two concepts. And one of those concepts was, and it brought to my mind, the Tower of Babel. Because before, right, you gotta remember, before this incident happened at the Tower of Babel, they were one people. Right? Scripture explicitly says, it's in Galatians, or I'm not Galatians, in Genesis 11. If you want to go there, you can read it. They were one people, and they were arrogant. They were arrogant. They thought that they knew better. They thought that they could outdo God. They thought that they could be God themselves. And so they would build a city and a tower that would rival God himself. Out of their arrogance, God comes down and sees this and then goes, I'll show you who God truly is. And he did what? Confused their language, right? Basically giving us all the different dialects and languages we have today, and scattered them. But here's what's interesting. Because God didn't do that as a, well, this is the consequence or the punishment, although he did, but he didn't leave them without hope. Or without the grace, because God still operates with grace in everything he did. Even in that moment, he operates with grace. Because then you go all the way to Acts 2, and the day of the Pentecost happens, and what happened? They all spoke in different tongues and languages, but what happened to the people who were listening? They understood what was being said, as if it was in their own language. And here's the interesting thing, and I want you to check me. You can do this on your own, right? Because this is cool. In Genesis, in the Tower of Babel, the people were, highlight the word, confused. Their language was confused, right? Here's the difference. You go to then, in Acts, in the Pentecost, right? When they were able to hear their own language coming from the other language being spoke, what were they? I'll give you a hint. It begins with the letter C. They were confused. What happened? From the course of time, the new normal became the world standard. And when God had done something miraculous, that was now confusing. Do you see? Do you see what the problem is? The problem is not with the things of God. The problem is not with the things that God wants to do with us. The problem is with the world's standards and how he's being eliminated from it. And I'm not here to just attack Americans, because I don't want people to think, oh, I'm anti-American here, because I'm very far from it. If you listen to me and Nolan's podcast, you will understand I'm very much a patriot. I'm very much a supporter of our troops and our officers and everything that America does stand for, really, truly stands for, which is why we're doing what we're doing, okay? Unfortunately, when we have this American, you know, rights and freedoms and all these things that we're given, people don't take them the right way. They take them at what the people of the world give to them and say, this is what you have. And unfortunately, these reasons are no longer valued or even observed. All the things that were instituted by our forefathers are no longer counted. They're even being removed as we speak. Okay? Today, those who served and fought to make this nation what it is are actually being erased. If you don't believe me, again, watch the news. Patriots are being assaulted, and anyone who loves this country and the flag it represents are Trump-supporting lunatics. The issue is how divisive we have become, and unfortunately, it will probably only get worse from here. Changes that men and their finite wisdom will decree soon will pit their divisive plot against us. And in fact, it has actually already begun. If you're not aware, there has been a new vote and a rule that has been passed that actually will come against churches. If you didn't pay attention, look it up. Because now all of the socially mandated vernaculars of sex are now being mandated that they are actually propagated within the house of God, which basically means as far as people, like, you know, if you're filling out a form for hiring, so like when we get to a point where we actually have paid salary staff members, we have to put down on that wonderful form your choice of sex and then your gender, as though those are different now. We have to actually do that legally. Or we do what God says. What are we going to do? We understand that. You don't have to preach at me, brother. I'm not questioning what we're going to do. I'm just telling you what the laws and the world standards are starting to do that are actually going to come again against us. Okay? So what are we going to do? What are we going to do, Miss Holly? No, you're supposed to ask the question. Thank you. There you go. It was okay. I'm all right with that. We're going to do what happens here in Luke 6, right? So we're going back to Luke chapter 6, but we're going to go through 20 through 23. Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. The bottom line, folks, is that we have to get off of the train that the world is setting up, because it is going straight to hell. It is absolutely a direct course. And we need to go the way of God. We have to recognize that we are not cut from the same cloth that the world sets up. We're not made out of the same material. We are made different. We always joked here, we say we're abnormal, right? We're abnormal. That's why I started, we have to get used to being what? Uncomfortable, right? Because what's the world trying to make you? Comfortable. How do I know it's trying to make you comfortable? It's lulling you to sleep so that you stay home and don't do anything. Just sit in front of your TV and rot away. Because that entertainment is better than what? Fresh air and socializing. God forbid. And then you go to the flag, right? The United States of America has a beautiful flag, stars and stripes, Old Glory, right? What's our banner? We lift the banner of Jesus high, amen? So we don't have to unite under the flag of this country. We actually have to unite under the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what actually makes us come together. That's why in the day of Pentecost, only those who were able to hear were those who believed, right? It was a miraculous day and it was a miraculous thing, but God was doing something miraculous before all of those people. And then a sermon had to be preached to explain, because those who didn't believe or didn't hear were going around saying, they're drunk. No, we weren't drunk, and no, we're not drunk. We're high on Christ, amen? That's what I want to be. And that's what we all should want to be. But what do we have to do to get there? Well, I don't know if we're ready for this, but again, if you read in Luke, this is what we're going to have to be ready to be. We're going to have to be ready to be poor. Who wants to be poor? I don't see many hands going up. Do you want the kingdom of God or not? Then you better get ready to be poor. What else? Are you ready to be hungry? Go a few meals, cut them out. Are you ready? Because you're going to have to be. Are you ready to be sad and distressed? I mean, some of us are already sad and distressed. It doesn't take long to get there. Are you ready to be hated? Are you ready to be wished dead? because that's what reveled means. Are we ready to have that on our lives? I mean, it's not like somebody didn't already set the barometer and the example before us, right? It's not like there was an example made. Was there an example made, I believe. This guy who went to the cross for a thing he didn't do, paid an ultimate price, lost his life. They mocked him and hated him, beat him, tortured him. How about that? So it's not like we don't have a model. It's not like we don't have an example. We do. We have a model. We have an example. But I think it's about time we started stepping up to the plate and actually doing that. Amen? Instead of falling into the traps and the guise that the world wants to set apart for us. Because, after all, we need to be unified under this banner. No offense, but Christ came to bring division. Do you not know that? He set to divide mother against daughter and father against son and brother against sister. That division was just right there in the general family, but he didn't come to bring peace, love, and happiness and make a hippie world. No, he came to actually set a standard that there is no other way but this way. There's no other way in the kingdom except through the Son. So what unifies us is Jesus, and the only way more people are going to come under this banner is because we open our mouth and tell them. Amen? Philippians. This is the last place we're going. You don't have to turn anymore. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is where you can, again, this is our charge, right? Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affliction and affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out, not only for his own interest, but for the interest of others. That is how we actually come together. The unity in Christ isn't just because you call on the name of Jesus. Because there are a lot of people that are phony balonies that say they know Jesus, but they don't. How do you know? I put them up against this word. The unity in Christ comes through our humility. It comes from us humbling ourselves, right? Not only does this connect us to one another, but it connects us to Christ and His image. Jesus Himself was humble. He did everything through humility. So in that regard, when we look at ourselves and the standard that we're set up against, we have to set that standard up as though this is what Jesus did, so I'm going to do it too. Amen? All right? The world will see us when they see Him. Now, I know that might sound different. I'm going to say it again. The world will see us when they see Him. How much have we had it twisted that they're going to see Jesus when they see us first? Right? Because we've been fed this diet that, oh, well, you know, I need to go and wear a cross, and I need to wear Jesus t-shirts, and I need to let people know that I'm a Christian and all this stuff, but I still curse like a sailor. Or I still live a filthy lifestyle. Or I still go and selfishly do all the things that I want to do while my brother and sister over there actually need help, but they're okay because they know Jesus too. They can get their help from Jesus. They will know us once they see Him. It's reversed. The reality of it is that as long as I'm worried about me and myself, I'm not being humble. I'm not being low in spirit. I'm not putting myself down and lifting up my brothers and my sisters. When I start doing that, guess then who they see? That's when they start seeing Jesus. And then they will see me. It isn't about us. It has nothing to do with us. That's why we have to put ourselves down. Amen? I know we don't want to. None of us want to do that. But we so have to do that. This is our example. But here's the bigger part of the picture, right? get this, guys, because I want you to hear this too. I can be the most humble person in this entire church. I can lower myself to the carpet. I can put myself down and give myself up day in and day out. But the body of Christ is not just one part. So if I'm the only part of the body that's putting itself down, the rest of the body's still going about doing its own business, the body's not working. The body's not doing what it's supposed to do. And think about this. Who's the head? Christ is the head. Not you, not me, not anybody else, but Jesus himself is the head. So if the body's going to move and accomplish the will of God, it's going to accomplish it when the whole body submits to the head. The whole body humbles itself and lowers itself and sets itself down so that the head can tell us what to do. We've heard this all day today, right? Has God not been saying that repeatedly over and over again? We're holding on to stuff. We're not letting go. We're distracted. We're focused on the wrong things. We're paying attention to the wrong things. We're not letting go of the things of this world. What was the word that God gave you, Miss Holly? No, the other one. The one you started off with. That's okay. There was a lot today. But God's theme has been very much the same. That we have to surrender. We have to let go. We have to stop holding on to the things that are not important in comparison to the things of God. Do we understand that? Okay. Then we're good. Then we're good. If we understand that, if we all understand that coming together, we completely understand that, then we're on the right path. The body of Christ is in fact that. His body, his hands, his feet. Accomplishing his will on earth. His will is not out of selfish ambition, but rather selfless love. Love for his fellow man and love for God's creation. Love for the Father's chosen people and love for the outsiders too. Jesus exemplified humility on the cross, but he also lived before us as a humble servant of God. Never exalting himself or seeking position he could easily take. He could have at any opportunity and any time let the cat out of the bag. He had the right. He had the ability. But he did not. Never looking for wealth or prosperity, but rather having just enough of whatever was given to him. Can we say that we truly want to walk in those shoes, or would we rather settle for a man-manufactured forgery of them that gives us something in return? It's a tough walk. Those sandals are heavy. Or would you rather have the Nike version? The Go Faster stripe on it. Think about it. It might be an image, but it might stick. Your challenge, guys, today. If we do not humble ourselves and pray, we will get nowhere fast. That is a fact. We will talk a good game, but will actually never show up when it matters. Our humility is what will give us the strength to persevere in these coming trials. Where does your pride come and rob you of being the best version of yourself that God needs you to be? Are you going to put down your pride and your ego and surrender to God, or continue to wait for man to figure out how to make you whole, or something which is something he is absolutely incapable of ever doing? Because let's face it, if you want to know, that's what they're setting the stage for. They're setting the stage that man knows what's best for you, man knows what you need, and man's got a plan that's going to make you whole and put back together. Man's going to take care of your bills. Man's going to take care of your problems. Man's going to take care of your health. Man's going to take care of all those wonderful things because he's got it all figured out. No, he doesn't. God has it figured out. God has the best plan. God has the best health care. God has the best financial advisor. There's nothing that you can't accomplish under his guise and wisdom. There's nothing. So we need to stop relying on man. We need to stop counting on what man says and stop worrying about what man's plan is and start pressing into what God's plan is for our life. That's how we're going to get set free. That's what's going to bring us together, and that's what's ultimately going to be what separates us in the end. Because whether you like it or not, I'm not a big fan of those messages, but the truth is in His Word that when we're called up and we're at that time of accountability and God's face to face with us, He is going to separate the sheep from the goats. There is a division. It's not God's heart. He doesn't want us to be on the side of goats. He wants us to be on the side of sheep. Amen? But we have a choice today to make that, to set that right. Amen? Amen. So, Father, we thank You, God. We thank You, Lord, that You have a purpose and a plan that is complete. It is finished. It is done. It is written. It is here for us to obtain it right now. If we would just humble ourselves and pray with sincerity and boldness, Your Word, God, believing that everything You have written here is true, and that every time we speak it, it returns full. It never returns void. That You accomplish Your Word as we speak it in boldness, God. So empower us, God. Give us that strength to put down ourselves, God, to seek Your face, God, to pray Your words in boldness, God, and to see Your world turn right side up, God. You, Lord, have the plan of setting on course a revival unlike any other. You want the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and take its position. And You're calling us out, God, as that beachhead, Father. So, Lord, let us respond to that call. Let us respond to Your words. Let us respond to Your instruction, God, and let us not hold on to the things of this world, but to put them down, recognize them as dead and fruitless, and hold on to Your Word, God, and speak it as truth. Let us move forward in might and power and strength as You embolden us, Jesus. We thank You for everything You have given to us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.